one another. We are to have a deep affection for one another that displays itself, demonstrates itself in the way that we treat one another, in our actions to one another. It is the distinctive mark of the Christian community. And last week we heard it from the lips of Jesus. Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another." Our Lord, our Savior, instructs us to love each other. But it's not just Jesus who says it. It is then his apostles, his sent ones, his ones with authority who then apply this command into the church. This morning, we see it on the lips of the Lord Jesus. So look at Romans 13 and verse 8. This is where we're going to linger around this morning. "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to," what does it say there? "Love one another." We are to love one another. And this is right in the middle of a section where Paul is speaking about love. So if you have a paper Bible or an electronic Bible, just skim back to chapter 12, verse 9. In chapter 12, verse 9, Paul says, "Love must be sincere." He's speaking about love, affection for one another. Verse 10, "Be devoted to one another, Christians, in love." You see, it's there, it's the thread that runs through the community. Love, Christ-like love. And in chapter 13 and verse 8, Paul broadens out our understanding. He kind of magnifies, it makes bigger our understanding of what it looks like for us as a community of believers to love one another. And just using this verse this morning, we're going to stretch our minds and hopefully then stretch our behaviors to fit in with what Paul is teaching us here. He teaches us two things, additional things, about what it means to love one another. And here's the first. To love one another is a debt to be paid. To love one another is a debt to be paid. Just look at 13 verse 8. "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt," the ongoing debt, "to love one another." I don't know if you've ever used the expression, "Hey, thanks for doing that. I owe you one." You ever said that to someone? "I owe you one?" Or no, maybe it's just my crass English that says that. "I owe you one." Maybe someone's helped you out of a fix at some point, or someone's done something over and above for you. And you feel, don't you, that sense of obligation. I owe this person because they've helped me. Metaphorically, you see yourself as indebted to that person. I'm indebted to you because of what you did for me. I owe you one. Well, I've used it. I don't know if you haven't. But in a similar way, Paul helps us to see that followers of Jesus, if that's you this morning, we have a debt, a duty, an obligation to love one another. That is to serve one another, as we saw last week, as Jesus has served us. We are obligated to do that. It is a duty for us to do that, to demonstrate our deep affection for one another by our actions. I owe you. You know, I look out at you this morning, and as a believer in Jesus, I owe you. It's a duty, it's an obligation upon me as a believer in Jesus. It's a debt that I must not leave unpaid. It's a debt that I must not leave outstanding. That's the context, you see. Look at the beginning of verse 8. "Let no debt remain outstanding." In the context, he's just been talking about the Christian's duty to pay their debts, to pay their taxes, to pay respect to the authorities. That's the debts. He says, well, don't leave those outstanding. It's a Christian thing to pay the debts we owe. But he also says, don't leave the debt of love outstanding. Don't leave that debt unpaid. See, the way we talk about love very often is more about the feeling of love, isn't it? And for us, love doesn't fit into the duty category. Love is a feeling, isn't it, that we follow. You know, I'll love you if I feel like it. But Paul says here, no, Christian love, it is an obligation. It is a duty to be discharged, an obligation to be obeyed, not just a feeling to be followed. It's something that God expects us to do actively and deliberately. Now the question is why? Why does Paul use this language of obligation, of debt? Why does he do it? Well, if I can put it like this morning, the loved must love. Those who have been loved must love. See, come back with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. As Paul says, look, pay this debt of loving one another. What context is he speaking in? Chapter 12, verse 1, he says to Christians, therefore I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. In view of God's mercy, in view of how he has treated you, then do these things that he speaks of in chapter 12 and 13. Now, how has he shown us mercy? What is this mercy? Well, the mercy is that we sitting here, have been loved by God. See, come back to chapter 5. Sorry, I'm going to do a bit of leaping around, but it is important. Chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. God has poured his love into us. He's lavished his love upon us. What is that love? It's the love, chapter 5, verse 8, that he's demonstrated by sending Christ into the world to die for us while we were still his enemies. Not while we were all looking cute and lovable and cuddly down here, and he thought, oh, I just can't resist them. No, while we were his enemies, he demonstrated this love. He sent Christ into the world to forgive us, to bring us peace. As you read through the Romans, you get a whole bundle of things that his love has lavished on us. And that's why Paul can call those of us who are Christians here loved by God. That is his description of the Christians in Rome, and that is how he could describe those of us who believe in Jesus this morning. You are loved by God. That is your label that you can have. We are now those, because of his love, chapter 1 and verse 7, who belong to Jesus Christ. We're his. We're loved by him. And I want to say to some of you here this morning, do you know that love? Do you know what it is to be loved like that by the God of this universe, by your Creator? He loves us, a love that forgives, a love that restores. And if you're here this morning and you're kind of looking into the Christian faith, then that is what it means to be a Christian. Someone who can say, I've been loved by God because he sent his son to die for me that I might have newness of life and I might belong to him. The loved, that's what it means to be loved. The loved are under obligation to love one another. We are under a duty to love one another. Is that how you think about this command to love one another? Do you see other believers, loving other believers, as a debt to be paid? A duty? An obligation because you have been loved? Did you wake up this morning and think, oh, I must pay my debt today to love others around me? Did you walk into church this morning and look around and think, oh, I owe you. I owe you my love. As someone who has been loved by God, love is a debt to be paid. The loved love. And out of love, because we're loved, we love others. Love must love. Now, if you're anything like me, because lots of us will have heard this lots, and I have to say, when I started to read that, it made me feel a bit uncomfortable this week, because it sounds a little bit worksy, doesn't it? A little bit kind of duty-bound. It sounds a little bit like a burden. Oh, I've got a debt to pay. And debts stress us out, don't they? If you've got debt, it stresses you. How am I going to pay it? I have to pay it, and it becomes a burden. But here's the thing that we need to wrestle with if we're going to get this language, get this idea of obligation. Remember who's saying this. The Apostle Paul is Mr. Grace. He is Mr. Salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. And he is super comfortable about saying to a group of Christians that it is our debt, it is our duty, it is our obligation to love one another in a way that does not compromise everything he's been saying about the fact that you're saved by grace, not by works. In fact, three times in the book of Romans, he talks about our obligation. He speaks about it in chapter 1 and verse 4, where he says, I'm indebted to you until I preach the gospel to you. He's got an obligation to preach the gospel. He speaks about it in chapter 8 when he talks about the Holy Spirit. He says, we're obligated, we're in debt to live according to the Holy Spirit. And here he speaks about a debt of loving one another. He's just super relaxed about using this language. He uses debt as a metaphor for the duties of those who now belong to Jesus Christ because we've been loved by God the Father. See, being saved by grace, friends, does not leave us duty-free. It does not leave us free agents to do what we want when we want to do it. We now belong to Jesus Christ, and we have duties and obligations, not burdens, not things that are meant to be heavy to carry around, but things that he empowers us to do. Obedience to Jesus is not an optional extra. Listen to what one writer says. Notice that Paul does not refer to this as a work that we look for only in the greatest of saints. He sees it as a duty resting on the humblest believer. Whatever else we do or do not do, we are to love. Paul uses debt as a metaphor to motivate us, to get us to wake up in the morning and say, I owe other believers my love. And unlike other debts, this debt can never be paid off. You know, we can pay our taxes, we can pay our rent, we can pay our mortgage, and we're quits. We're done, the debt is paid. We can give our respect and honor to those in charge, just as Christians are called to, and we're quits. But you can never look another believer in this church in the eye and say, I've loved you enough. It's a permanent obligation. As an early church father, a guy called Origen puts it, he said, the debt of love is permanent, and we are never quit of it, for we must pay it daily, and yet always owe it. Jesus says, love one another. It's a debt to be paid. The loved must love. And so, friends, are we paying that debt to one another? As those loved, are we discharging our duty to love? That's the question that Paul gets us thinking about this morning. Number one, it's a debt to be paid. Here's the second thing that Paul kind of wants us to think about in terms of loving one another. It's a debt to be paid, but number two, loving one another is law-shaped, okay? We're working quite hard this morning, okay? This is big stuff, but loving one another is law-shaped. Now look again at Romans 13 and verse 8. Paul says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Paul says that as we love one another in the everyday of life, we have fulfilled the law. Now, what's he talking about? Well, some of you will be old enough to remember the Love Is cartoons. Anyone going to admit to being old enough to remember the Love Is cartoons? The little kind of pencil drawings of a boy and a girl? Anyone? Yeah, one of you's old enough. That's amazing. I don't know how I know them then. no one else remember these little cartoons? Yeah, they do. These are little cartoons. Like Love Is, and then there'll be a little definition and a little cartoon drawing of a boy and a girl. Go home and Google them if you want to, and you'll find out what they are. They were little definitions helping people to say, well, love is this. Love looks like this. These little cartoons gave shape to, they gave definition to what it means to love. Now, here's the thing. We could all come to church and hear a sermon on love. That would be lovely, wouldn't it? And we could walk out of here and we could have a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling inside, like, oh, love. I love love. Love is good. And then we could all walk home and think, love, that was a great sermon. Love is good. Love, love, love. All you need is love. We could sing the Beatles walking out of here, couldn't we? That highly Christian band. We could all leave, couldn't we? But we could all then equally leave, not actually having a clue what that looks like. We could all leave here thinking, "Wow, oh, yeah, it's great to love, but what does it mean?" We can even hear a sermon like last week and think, okay, yeah, okay, so as Jesus has loved us, so I must love one another. That means serving like Jesus, and it means laying down our life like Jesus. And we could all work out of here and say, amen, but then not have a clue what it looks like. As you reach a Monday or a Tuesday and you go about the to-ing and fro-ing of life. Now, here's the point I want us to see this morning from the scriptures. The command to love, it needs some shape, doesn't it? It needs some definition. It needs some structure. And actually, it needs some moral boundaries. Love needs moral boundaries. For the Apostle Paul, he sees the shape and direction that love needs as coming from the law. Do you see that, verse 8? For whoever loves has fulfilled the law. Now, you've got to ask the question, well, what law is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the laws of the Old Testament. So look at verse 9. Let's read on. Because he quotes four of the last five Ten Commandments. Here they are, the commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commands there may be, which may be thinking about the fifth one, and it may be thinking about lots of the other laws that are around them in the Old Testament. For Paul, these commandments give shape to the relationships that we're meant to have with one another. They give shape and definition to what it looks like in real life to love one another. See, that's why the laws, lots of the Old Testament laws, can be summed up with the command. Look how he goes on in verse 9. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because love is the heart of the law. The law is about defining what it looks like to love one another. Love is the essence of the law. It's the heart of the commands. See, I suspect that most of us, if you start talking about it, we pitch against one another the idea of love and law. We think that love is being free and we follow the feelings. It's freedom to love. Law's restricted. But the Bible helps us to see that law and love, they go hand in hand. They need each other. As one writer puts it, love needs law for its direction, and the law needs love for its inspiration. Or if love is cut free from any commandments, it easily dissolves into sentimentality and virtually any course of action that could be defended as loving. And so Paul says that when we love one another, He's not meaning that we fulfill the law, by the way. Sorry. When he says that we love one another, we fulfill the law, he's not saying that you are earning your righteousness, because that goes against everything he's written in the book of Romans. But he is saying that by continuing to pay our debt of love to one another, we give expression in our lives and our behaviors to everything that the law of Moses was teaching. Love without being shaped by the law can go massively astray, can't it? Take the first commandment, verse 9. Look at what it says there. You shall not commit adultery. Now, I know adultery can be a very raw subject for some of us, but there's probably no adultery situation where someone wouldn't band around the word love at some point to justify their behavior. I committed adultery because I loved that person. But you see, love without moral boundaries just goes astray. It causes harm, it causes damage. And so what does real love look like? Well, it looks like being faithful to the person you've committed to. That's what Paul is saying. The law gives shape to love, but if you take off the boundaries, love can just do what it wants, and it can justify anything it wants to do. Same with stuff and coveting and stealing, and it just goes on to harm others. The spirit of our age is follow love. Follow what you want to do, but love without law can cause great harm in doing whatever we want. Do you see? Love needs the law, and the law needs love. And so as we, friends, learn to translate love into our life, we need that love to be shaped by and informed by the law of God, the Word of God. You see, the laws of God we see lived out in the person of Jesus Christ. See, I haven't loved my neighbor as I should. I haven't loved others as I should. But Jesus did. Jesus says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And so we follow Jesus, the one who kept it perfectly. He loved God and he loved his neighbor, even to the point of laying down his life for us. Friends, just for a moment, how will we know what it looks like to leave this room and love one another throughout the week? How will we leave this room, not just with a warm sentiment of, oh yeah, we must love one another, but really knowing what that love looks like? Well, we need the Word of God. We need the laws of God. We need the commands, the Bible. We need his living Word, the Lord Jesus. I often get asked, and maybe you ponder this question as well, what are we meant to do with all the Old Testament law stuff? If any of you have ever attempted to read through, it gets really like tricky reading, doesn't it? When you read of all these laws that the Old Testament people had to keep. Now, just to say that's a big question, what we're meant to do with the law as Christians today. But here's a few tips. If it can be summed up with loving God and loving your neighbor, as you read through those laws, why not just ask yourself the question, how does this teach me to love others? What's it teaching? So lots of the laws will be like, well, if you see your friend's donkey's fallen over or ox has fallen over, don't just walk past, help them get it up. And so there's a principle there, isn't there, of love and helping out a neighbor and not walking past them when they see that there's something wrong. And okay, we don't see many oxes falling over on the road, but you might see someone who needs some help. And you're learning, your love is being shaped by and given direction by the laws of God. When you read that stuff, ask, how does this shape the way I love today in the context I live? How does God want me to treat my neighbor? See, verse 10, look at verse 10, we're nearly there. Love does no harm to a neighbor. You see, there's another summary. He states it in the negative. He says, you know, lots of the commands are about not harming those around you. But in stating the negative, he implies the positive, which is, how am I working for the greatest good of those around me? That's what it means to love. Am I living for the greatest good of those here at Enfield Town Community Church? Am I living for the greatest good of those around me? Is my love fulfilling everything that the law gave shape to. Love is law-shaped and finds its form and its definition in the commands of God. Guys, you've listened really well this morning. Are you all still alive and happy? That's good. We are told by the Lord Jesus to love one another. And last week we learned that that means for it to be Jesus-shaped love. As I have loved you, to serve one another, to lay down our lives. But the New Testament stretches our minds to think about what that love looks like. And Paul adds to that that it's a debt. It's a debt to be paid. Are we paying what we owe? The loved must love. And as we learn to love one another, we must let that love be shaped by the Word of God, defined by the laws of God, a love that is given its direction and form and expression through the law of God, lived out, loved out in the person of our Lord Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus says to us, love one another. And when he says love one another, those are the things he means. And so may God help us here at Enfield Town Community Church to love one another as we have been loved. May we pay the continuing debt of love that we owe to one another. Friends, let's pray about that together, and then we'll sing and come to the Lord's table. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the love that you have lavished upon us. Thank you that you demonstrated your love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you that you've poured that love into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Please help us to pay that debt of love to others, to discharge that duty and privilege of being the loved this morning. May our love be law-shaped. May our love be shaped by your commands and your words and by the living example of Jesus Christ. May we be a community that truly loves one another. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's stand and let's sing together.